The word today is doubt. Welcome to The Word Today with Pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. Last week we learned about doubting Thomas, and today Pastor Schrader continues that theme with an illustration from his own experience. Here with a story of a woman who doubted God's word is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Doubt.
Last week on this program, we talked about the beautiful joy that we have as Christians that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ rose from the dead. We call that Easter morning. And it is the proof that His payment for our sins was accepted by God the Father, and also the proof that we too one day will overcome death. We all have to die unless we're living at that precise moment when Christ returns on Judgment Day. Then our bodies will be transformed immediately to our glorified bodies. But if we had died prior to that, then we will be raised from the dead, and we will once again see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's Judgment Day. And what a glorious day it'll be, because He will take the believers who trusted in Him and had their sins forgiven to heaven to live with Him eternally. And we talked about doubt and the way faith has to be encouraged and fed and nourished by God's word. And in the 20th chapter of John, we looked at the doubting of a disciple by the name of Thomas, doubting Thomas. On that program last week, I promised I was going to tell you a story about a lady that I met in my early ministry. As a matter of fact, the ministry was still the target of my goal. I hadn't graduated yet from the seminary. I was in my final year. And that final year at the seminary, the faculty had chosen me to go on for specialized training and to teach the chaplains, the hospital chaplains. And so I had courses in psychiatry and psychology, the different types of clinical studies that you would have in counseling situations, dealing with people. And so I was kind of happy about that. I was very pleased. And during that final year, I traveled about 35, 40 miles over to a little town in southern Illinois, on just actually north of the airport in St. Louis. And the little town of Godfrey had a little congregation there, 30 or 40 people. And I would preach for them on Sunday morning. And they asked me to keep coming back. And so I ended up preaching about a half a year there, my final year at the seminary, and they ended up calling me as their pastor. And so instead of going into the clinical studies and teaching the arts of counseling and things like that, instead of that, I became a parish pastor, and that's how I now am also still a parish pastor. So it's really terrific how God had led my life. And in my final year at the seminary, I was still practicing making calls and hospital calls and so on. And on this one occasion, I was at a ward in the big hospital there, Barnes Hospital, and I made a call, and I noticed that while I was praying with one of the patients, a lady in a wheelchair up the aisle from there was kind of fussing and acting up and kind of laughing and mocking the name of Jesus. So I stopped by to talk to her, and I asked what the situation was, and she said, "Well, young man, you certainly don't believe that nonsense, do you?" And I said, "Yes, of course I believe that." And she said, "Well, you should be smarter than that. You shouldn't believe stuff like that." And I said, "Well, I do. I am a Christian, and I believe in Jesus." And I said, "I'd like to pray for you." And I tried to pray for her, and she would snarl. I mean, it was terrible. I can't even make the sound that she would make, a kind of a demonic sound, you know. She was totally mocking Jesus and God, and as a result, was very, very difficult situation. Well, the next few times that I was visiting on that ward, I stopped by to say hello to her. And she would still mock and act up, and yet each time a little less, and I noticed that. And one time when I was praying for her, she didn't really mock out loud. And I opened my eyes, and She was looking at me, and yet she wasn't, mocking. You know, she wasn't ridiculing. And so I thought, well, that's interesting. You know, maybe God is working on her heart. Well, I made calls on her, and I visited her and stopped to talk with her and so on. And then as the months and weeks rolled by, you know, one of the things you learn when you're making calls is that you try not to call on a dreary, dreary, rainy, cloudy, dark type of day, because people are in more of a negative mood, and it's not just as good a time to call as if you could call when the sun is shining and the day is beautiful. You know, just common sense will tell you that. And yet I remember I was at my dormitory, and I thought to myself, you know, this is really a cloudy, dreary day. It was rainy, and in fact, it was actually raining. I remember that because I had to dart out of my car and try to run as fast as I could to the stairway to get to that building. When I drove up, I noticed that all the balconies, all the little porches that they had on these dormitory-type buildings were totally empty. No one was sitting outside, even though they had a roof covering them. It was still open, and the wind could blow and whip the rain around, you know, and everyone was inside except for Mrs. Fredericks. And there she sat in her wheelchair in the corner of that one part of the hospital. And as she was there, I just couldn't help but believe, why is she sitting outside? So I went up to that veranda, and I found the floor she was on. I went out on the balcony there, and I said, "Mrs. Fredericks, what are you doing out here?" And she said, "Who told you? Who told you?" And I said, "I don't know what you mean. I don't understand what you're asking. I don't know of anything anyone told me." She said, "Someone had to tell you." And I said, "I really don't understand what you mean, Mrs. Fredericks. I don't know what you're referring to." And what she then said was that this today was her birthday. And nobody knew that. Nobody knew that. She hadn't told anybody. And yet here I was visiting her, and I had brought a present. I had wrapped up a little Bible and brought it to her. And that so impressed her. That just amazed her so much. And I said, "Well, I'm happy I brought you a gift. Here, this is a Bible. And I'd like you to start reading in the 5th and 6th chapter of the Gospel of John. I want you to start reading there. And you just read a few chapters, just whenever you feel a little like it. You just read there, and then next time I'm here, I'll see if you have any questions." Well, it just was amazing. I had a little prayer. Next time I came back, she said she had read these chapters, and that she was working on knitting me a scarf, you know. I'll never forget that because it was a fuchsia pink. And I must have looked huge to her. I am a pretty good-sized guy, and I was an athlete in those days. And she had knitted this scarf so wide that even if you folded it over, it was still wide. And when I put it around my neck, both ends of it hung down below my overcoat. Below the edge of my overcoat on both sides. It was huge, positively huge. And anyway, she was making that for me. And we talked some more, and we talked some more, and the weeks rolled on, and the months rolled on. And then finally one day when I was there, now at this point she was praying with me, and she was reading scriptures, and God was bringing her back to faith. But it hadn't happened yet. And so this day, I asked her, I said, "Mrs. Fredericks, why don't you believe?" And she told me this story. She said, "I lived in Wisconsin, and I was a member of a Lutheran church. My parents belonged there, and I was in confirmation class. And I went to confirmation class, and the pastor there was telling us the story about how Moses hit the water, and the waters parted and divided, and the Israelites went through on dry land." And I thought that was very strange, and I didn't know if I believed that. And we had a river near where we lived, and I took a stick, and I went down by that river. Now, you'll see, she was a kind of a strong-willed, stubborn-minded woman, and she took the stick and hit the river, and the water didn't stop. The water didn't part. And so she did it again, and the water didn't stop, and the water didn't part. And she said, well, if I can't do it, neither did Moses. And she went home, and she told her parents, I don't believe Moses parted the water. And they said, well, you go back and tell Pastor, and you better explain to him that you don't believe that. And she went back to church, told the pastor, and according to her, the pastor simply said, if you don't believe that, you can't be confirmed. Well, the bottom line was she wasn't confirmed, and now all those years, she was probably 12, 13 at that point, see? Now all these years, now she's probably close to 90, and all these years she has not believed. And then she looked at me with those eyes and that face, and she said, and I still don't believe it. And I said, you know what, Mrs. Fredericks, I don't either. And her eyes opened as big as saucers, and she said, you don't? And I said, no, I don't believe that Moses can divide water, and I don't believe that he could then. And she was so amazed. I said, now look down this corridor. You see that doctor down there taking care of that patient? She said, yes. I said, do you think he could maybe help them? Well, I don't know, maybe. Do you think God could? Oh, yes, God can help that patient. And I said, well, that's for sure. Now, do you think if God wanted to, God could use that doctor to help that patient? And she thought, she said, yes, I suppose so. I said, Mrs. Fredericks, can God divide water? Yes, she said. Mrs. Fredericks, do you think if God wanted to, that he could use Moses to divide the water? And she said, why didn't anyone explain that to me? Why didn't anyone tell me? And now that she understood that, she accepted that, she accepted Christ, we had a prayer, she became a child of God again. The following week I went to see her, she wasn't there, the nurses told me she had passed away. I believe God kept her alive till he could bring her back into his kingdom. Isn't that a beautiful story? May God bless you and keep you in his care.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for the Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find the Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support the Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at the Word today. So all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have the Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.